Okay, welcome back, all of you modern suburban vampires or midnight construction workers, to another episode of Spooky Movie Squad, the horror movie podcast that reviews the best and worst and everything in between in horror, one movie at a time. I'm your host, Otis, and tonight, like always, I am joined by the Spooky Movie Squad, and that squad consists of Katie,
Hi,
Emma,
Boogie,
and Micah.
Oh, shit. What time is it? Oh, it's nighttime. Oh, stupid time change. I gotta get out of here.
So sit back and relax and enjoy our re-review of the 2011 American supernatural horror comedy vampire film, Fright Night. You can't run from evil when it lives next door. That works for a lot of movies like Poltergeist. And what was the one with Thanos' dad? They were in that freaky house in like Jersey.
Amityville Horror.
Yeah, Amityville Horror.
I got you.
And I don't
it
know.
It took a minute, but I got there.
There's tons of them like that. This one has a vampire in it. Hit that music.
Goblins, ghouls, and honored guests, take a seat to take a rest. From behind the curtain, a disconcerting nod. It's time to listen to the Spooky Movie Squad.
Happy Spookies, everyone. This is episode 347 of this illustrious podcast and chapter 2 in our month of vampire movies. Now, I don't know if I always say this. I like to think that the listeners are on top of everything, and someone out there is like, but I thought you guys did Fright Night. Yes, Katie and I did Fright Night many Halloween Screamathons ago, and it finally hit us that Micah and Emma, I don't know if they've seen this movie, but they haven't sat down and talked to us about this film, and Katie and I absolutely adored this movie. Now, Katie, I don't think she's seen the original. I really like the original.
I don't need to. I'm good.
I know. And I think you said that like 3 years ago also. But
yep.
One day we will sit down and watch the original. It's really good. I like it. So, I mean, there's a reason that they ran this movie back, because someone out there really enjoyed it. So this film was directed by one Craig Gillespie. He's done some other films, I, Tonya, and he's done Cruella back in 2021. Lars and the Real Girl, I have seen parts of that movie.
It's weird.
Yes, it is.
It's fucking weird.
Yes, it is.
And Ryan Gosling was like a full 100 pounds heavier than he is right now.
Yeah.
He was a thick boy in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Screenplay by Marty Noxon. Now, she did a lot of work on one supernatural series called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So, probably had a good idea about how vampires work. So I have to bring this up just so people know, but this film, the original story, was directed and written by one Tom Holland. You mean Spider-Man? No.
Unfortunately, we never mean Spider-Man, because he doesn't do scary movies.
Yeah, one day. You never know. But it's the same Tom Holland that did Child's Play and also did a Stephen King film, not that good. The book was awesome. Thinner. It's the one where the fat guy, he's like losing, like, I don't know, 5 pounds a day. He gets cursed. And then he's like, I'm 80 pounds. This is terrible. I'm dying. I have to stop the curse.
A fun curse for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. He was enjoying it. And then he was like, wow, I can't eat. Nothing can satiate my body. It's falling apart. It's fun. It's a fun one. So for the uninitiated, Fright Night from 2011 is a story about a teenage boy who finds out that his neighbor is a vampire. And it just starts the journey of him trying to defend himself, his mother, and his girlfriend from said vampire, and getting the help from a occult magician superhero.
Yeah, what's the guy? Who's the guy in
like Chris Angel? Like
Chris Angel.
Yeah, it's like a cool Chris
Angel. A vampire hunting Chris Angel is what it is.
Yeah.
He has the big wide eyes too, and I love it.
So, Emma, what did you think about Fright Night?
This was my first foray into Fright Night, and I had a good time with it. It was entertaining and I enjoyed it. I love Anton Yelchin. He's so adorable. And he really does fit the moniker of the unsuspecting nerdy kid. And but like the unsuspecting one who meddles a lot. So I very much felt, but I really liked it. It was enjoyable to me. Micah does not feel as strongly, but he'll tell you that. Micah.
Yeah, this movie gets a meh for me, dog. Wasn't terrible, wasn't great. I don't know. It was meh. I don't know, the like Charlie and his girlfriend had like Amy had like the worst chemistry for a movie. It did not work well. But other than that, it kept to its some vampire rules that they create for their movies or books or whatever, and then changed some of them. So at least they like had their established rules. That the CGI was rough.
I think the version that we watched was supposed to be the 3D one, because like shit came flying towards the screen and like
I
didn't know there was a 3D one.
I don't know, it may have done it before, but yeah, there's a couple of spots in ours that
movie did come out kind of in that era of 3D
all the things
movies that everybody was fucking doing for a while there. Remember 3D big screen TVs?
Yeah.
Wild. We old.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I love this movie. Micah's opinions do not reflect the rest of this podcast. I love this movie. Anton Yelchin is a fantastic actor, and I wish that his career was longer, and I wish he was still around, because I love every movie I've ever seen him in, and I'm sad that he's no longer with us. David Tennant could just stand and lick an ice cream cone and I'd be entertained. Like,
in more ways than one.
Yeah. The man is so charismatic and like fully falls into every role that he is given. And he plays the like smarmy bad guy, but who is good. I guess good guy who is bad. I don't even really know what.
Anti-hero.
Yeah, the anti-hero. David Tennant knocks that shit out of the park. His character in this movie is very reminiscent of like Crowley from Good Omens and Barty Crouch Jr., who is just a bad guy from fucking Harry Potter, and the character he played in Jessica Jones. Like, it's all very similar, where he's just like this brooding bad guy, or like who seemingly guy who looks really bad but ends up being good in the end. Except Jessica Jones, he was full evil in that. But
yeah,
David Tennant's great, and Colin Farrell did a really good job at being creepy bad guy next door neighbor. Like,
he really did. He owned that very rapey feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So the spoilers, this movie's fun. I really like it. I don't know if it's better than the original, but I love the original, so they're both up there in my head. The reason I said spoilers is one of my favorite things about this film is the cast. I absolutely loved Colin Farrell as a villain. He tried his best to be, what was it, soulless? He didn't want to, like, vampires are known to be charismatic. That's the whole thing about them. They want you to smile. They want you to lower your defenses because it makes it easier for them to get closer to you. And Colin Farrell is really good at that. He's a cutie pie and he's very disarming. And then you get close, you're like, oh no. And just about everybody in this film, I absolutely adore, and got to see them younger was really cool. David Tennant, like Katie said, David Tennant can do whatever he wants, and I'll just have a smile on my face. Mm-hmm. I wanted more of him in this film, you know? Mm-hmm. But it was fun. Now, story-wise, you know, there's always spots in these movies that could be better and, you know, things like that. But I really had a fun time with this. Every time I watch it, there's always a smile on my face. So this is a pretty good one. I think for people that, if you haven't really seen that many scary movies, this is a pretty good one to hop in on. There are some I guess, spooky spots to it. And the way the vampires look is kind of reminiscent of like sharks, the way their mouths kind of open up wide. So, I mean, it's creepy
looking.
There are
some gory parts. I wouldn't necessarily say creepy, but there's a lot of like blood splatter moments in this.
Yeah, but it's, yeah. I don't think it's that crazy. We have watched and reviewed way worse things. So, but
well, this movie doesn't really have like jump scares. It's not that kind of scary movie.
Yeah, the scary thing is just there. You can see it the whole time. And it's just like, I'm going to get you. It's that type of, kind of like Friday 13th, though he does pop out. But when you see Jason, there's a good chance you'll probably keep seeing him as he's walking towards you. It's that kind of thing. Like Halloween. It's like, he can't hide, but he just
oh,
likes,
why would
he likes being there because he's big and scary and strong. So we will get through this story. I'm very curious. I need to go back and listen to this, the older episode, and just see how everything went. Everything seems smoother, how, you know, the episodes are going and stuff, but I'll get through this real quick. This bad boy runs for 106 minutes. Could have been a little longer, honestly. And you and you can find this on Amazon
and YouTube and everywhere that you can buy a movie.
Yeah, or you put your pirate hat on, you can find it anywhere. That's the way to do it.
Yo-ho.
Monkey D. Luffy, because I'm out here sailing these seas.
I guess, he steals stuff. He
he's
just like
king of the pirates.
Yeah,
to be,
but he's like
well,
the nicest.
Trying to be the king of
the nicest pirate ever.
I am also incredibly nice.
Come on.
But yes. I steal shit, so.
Are you hopping or not? Okay, you stay right there then. So we meet up with one Charlie Brewster, and he is living in a very creepy looking suburb on the outside of Las Vegas. Now, Nevada, for the uninitiated or people not in America, Nevada is a lot of desert, and then Vegas, and it's kind of like this oasis in the middle of the desert.
Still hot as balls.
Yeah, so everyone can't just live in Vegas because that's absurd and expensive. So you live outside of it. And I don't know if it's still like this, but there's probably spots in the desert as you're driving that you don't get cell service. And it's just, you're just there. It's I've driven through Nevada actually to get to California, and it is boring as shit. So, yeah. So, but at least there is a tiny little oasis in this desert. Hey, it's this nice little suburb. And so we meet up with Charlie. And there is a new neighbor moving in next door. And the mom is a bit grumpy because there's a lot of construction and this big, like, trash can, like a little dumpster in front of the house. And there's a lot of rocks and stuff. I was thinking about it. This time it kind of hit me. I was like, oh, that's why there was construction stuff. Oh, at the end of the movie, it makes more sense. First time I watched it, it didn't hit me. Even when I watched all the way through, I was like, I thought it was just some throwaway storyline little beat, just be like, oh, like a real world, there's a trash can up front. Later it's like, oh, okay. Charlie is a really good kid, loves his mom, he's not a turd or anything. He has a shitty bike, and he has a very hot girlfriend. Multiple people tell him that they don't understand how Charlie has this girlfriend. It seems to be a running thing. They're like, wow, she's way too hot for you. He's like, how'd you get her? And he's like, I don't know, man. I guess I'm just cool. Even from the beginning of this movie, we see in school, there's a few missing people. And I actually forgot the beginning of this movie. We have a good old intro where it shows people that don't mean anything to the story. And so we see a boy dealing with a vampire and dealing with the fact that his family are corpses all around the house. So Charlie's old friend, Edward, so Evil Ed, and Evil Ed is from the original story, tells him that, hey, school's weird. Things are really happening, and I have some evidence. I need you to meet me after school because we need to deal with something. And he's like, okay. And he's like, no, seriously, if you don't, I'm going to release this video of us being weird. I'm already weird, so it's not going to hurt me, but you're cool and shit. So it'll probably hurt you. And he's like, okay, I'll be there. After school, Edward, or Evil Ed, I'll probably call him Ed now, tells Charlie that his next door neighbor, the new guy is a fucking vampire. It is so quick in the original. Actually, Charlie is the one that has doubts that the neighbor is a human. And Ed's like, that's stupid. So they flipped it around. But he tells him, like, hey, man, Adam, our other friend, is gone. He hasn't been to school in a while. This dude's a vampire. I have all this evidence. And he starts showing him things. And then once again, like a person that just doesn't believe in this shit, he's like, you're crazy. And, you know, that's why we're not friends anymore, because you're weird. And Evil Ed heads home on his skateboard. Now, after running from a young James Franco.
No, Dave Franco.
Dave Franco, the not terrible one. So as Ed is running from the good Franco, he meets up with Jerry. Oh, no. And instantly, Ed is like, get the fuck away from me. And after a little bit of a chase that ends nowhere, well, back in the backyard where they started it, Jerry gets close enough to bite Ed. And so we instantly, man, this movie, it moves pretty quick. And we see that Jerry's a fucking vampire. There was no doubts to this. So now Charlie's mom, Jane, she is a little bit smitten. Everybody seems to be. Jerry seems like a pretty cool guy, and he's hot, and he works at night, and so that's why his windows are blacked out, because it's bright and he doesn't want you, you know, he doesn't want the sun coming in. Now, after heading to Ed's house and grabbing some evidence and actually seeing legit proof that Jerry is a vampire, because the camera wouldn't record him. Yeah, he seems to be a little bit closer to believing this. But then we get a moment, and I think it's really cool how a modern vampire would have to deal with things.
Mm-hmm.
As Charlie is heading home, we see Jerry come up to him toward the back door and tell him, like, hey, man, I'm about to have, like, this really hot lady over. I'm out of beer. Could I get some beers from you? And I'll hit you up later. And he's like, yeah, okay.
I'd say that's weird, but we've had that happen to us before with our neighbor.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's weird, frequently. But not super weird. Like, okay, I could see that. Like, you don't have time to go, I got beer. Okay. So Jerry is at the door frame, just kind of looking in, and he starts just saying, like, oh man, your kitchen looks really nice. He's trying to just acknowledge that he's there, and he wants him to say, oh, come on in, man. And that's what he's waiting on. But Charlie is like, I'm like 70% sure that you're a vampire. So he won't say the words. And he hands him the beers, and he actually tries to get Jerry to put his arm through the doorway, but he won't. And it's funny, Colin Farrell, his eyes, they go like wide when he gets right up on the edge of the door. And it seems like something's just bothering him. And I'm curious what would happen to a vampire if they actually went through it. I don't know if it's just like a straight up wall that would just stop them, or would it just like hurt them? I don't think I've ever seen a movie. I know in Demon Knight, but those were demons and they couldn't cross thresholds and they just like exploded. So I don't think it would hurt a vampire, but they just can't go through it. So
I do find it interesting that they made him clever, like Colin Farrell's character, clever, as in he was just always like kind of one step ahead.
Yeah,
you know,
he always had a backup.
With Ed, he was like, I've been watching you just like you've been watching me, and then coming to the house and kind of like proving his suspicion and going like, I know you know.
Yeah,
but now you know I know.
Yeah, it's awesome. So we see Charlie starting to get a little more and more freaked out. Now that night, Charlie and his girlfriend, Amy, Amy seems to want to get busy with Charlie, and Charlie, you know, he might be next door to a vampire, so he's not in the mood to get busy. Now, as she leaves, Charlie hears a scream from next door. He calls the cops. Good job, Charlie. And just like in Disturbia, that scream, well, the cops get there, and the scream is not confirmed, or the cops don't look that hard, or we see that Jerry uses his vampire powers to just take the cops off the trail. So the cops leave. Now, Charlie heads into the house to see who is in trouble, one of his hot neighbor ladies. Now, he sneaks into the house, takes some pictures of some really creepy, not effigies, but just like old timey like pictures on the wall. It seems like something that someone would pray to, maybe. Just some weird setup.
There's an altar.
An altar, that's the word. I was going to say effigy, but effigy, you burn. So something like that. And in the closet, he finds a secret room full of doors. This house is gigantic. Did he just make a room smaller or take a room away to make a room of rooms? That's weird. I don't know. It's a suburb. All the houses are the same. I don't know. But anyway, Charlie sees that, holy shit, his sexy other neighbor is stuck in one of these rooms. So as he is trying to unlock the door, Jerry starts heading up and he hides in another room and watches Jerry bite the neck of his neighbor. And the neighbor puts, you know, a finger to her lips saying that, like, stay quiet. Maybe you can get out of this. Now, Charlie waits a few hours, I suppose. Or maybe he went over at like 5 a.m. We don't know. Time is weird in this movie. And so they play a little cat and mouse game in the house. And Charlie gets his neighbor outside. Hooray! Maybe they can find a way to cure. Oh no, she explodes the second light hit her. So in this world, if you get bit, it's not a you have 72 hours to figure it out. You probably have an hour after you've been bit. And you will be enough vampire to explode when light hits you. Now, Jerry let Charlie go. And then the second the lady exploded outside, Jerry starts laughing because he's like, well, gotta kill him. He doesn't seem that worried about this. And it's probably not his first time that someone has probably caught on and he's had to kill him. And so it's just another day. So Charlie heads to Las Vegas proper and meets up with the magician Peter Vincent. And so on the website, it says that he is an expert on vampires and the occult. And as we see David Tennant, he has a sweet little beard, a goatee, and a mustache, and long black hair, and all these tattoos. And then as they are just by themselves, and Charlie is faking like he is a reporter, we see Peter take off all of these things. And he has short brown hair, and he takes off his facial hair. And took off one of the piercings that was on his face. And it was just like, fake. And he loves Midori. He loves sweet liquor. It's his favorite thing, apparently. Now, after Charlie tells Peter, there's a vampire in my neighborhood, man. You got to help me. He's like, that shit ain't real. Get out of here. You're crazy. And he leaves his evidence. But, you know, there's got to be a reason that Peter comes back, you know. So later that night, Charlie, his mom Jane, and his girlfriend Amy are at Charlie's house. And Jerry comes to the door and is like, hey, Jane, we need to talk about your son. Because he was sneaking into my house and he was scaring me. He opened the door so we can talk about this. And Charlie's like, don't talk to him. Don't acknowledge that man. And so the mom tells Jerry to call the cops. And so he goes out. He goes into his home, grabs a shovel and a saw. Heads to the backyard. He is digging so hard that chunks of dirt are flying out. Not even like a little bit of dirt. Actual hunks of the earth.
Big ass brick.
That's a boulder.
Yeah, it was fucking cool. And then he cuts open the gas line, lights it, and then the whole home explodes. Now, this is the part where I was like, it's a rule, but I don't know how much of a rule it is. But apparently, if all the windows explode and fire goes through your home is not a home anymore. Mm-hmm. And Jerry says, well, you can't keep me out of a house if it's not a fucking house. Ha ha. And he comes into the burnt house and chases them off. So Charlie, Jane, and his girlfriend hop into the van, minivan, and they drive off into the desert. Now, Jerry has a car and catches up to him. They run him over. Hooray. Oh, no. He is under the car. It's like Sideshow Bob. And he starts punching his way through the car. Oh, no. Now, he puts his hand on the brake. And then he is outside of the car. No, another car hits him. It's so many things happen. So they get hit by another car. And just a random guy comes out. Hey, it's not a random guy. It is Chris Christopher? Chris Sarandon. Hey, it's Prince Humperdinck from The Princess Bride. And also the original Jerry from the original Fright Night.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of song, I was like, son of a bitch. Look, it's the original vampire. So he doesn't last long because new Jerry kills old Jerry. I was like, oh. And so as Jerry is telling Charlie, yeah, I mean, that crucifix hurts and shit, but do you really believe in it? And he's like, maybe. And then Jerry just kind of comes up and grabs it and just takes the fire in his hand. He's like, yeah, you don't believe enough, so it's not really hurting me. And he tells him, like, hey, man, this ain't my first rodeo. I've been stabbed in the chest before, but they always miss because my heart's right here. And then seconds later, hooray, Jane the mom stabs him with a moving sign or a Century 21 sign.
So that's something that Emma brought up at the beginning when we were watching it. She's like, wow, those really look like stakes on those signs. And I was like, oh, that's
said. Yeah, I said they really made an effort to put very pointy house signs.
And I said, oh, that's so going to happen. That's Chekhov's gun right there.
Chekhov.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So many connections to words. I like it. So we see Jerry this whole movie. Jerry's been pretty cool as a cucumber, really. But the second he gets this like moving sign or this like, you know, Century 21 sign in his back, boy, howdy. He's not cool anymore. He is wiggling on the ground like he's got like, I don't know, a bug in the middle of his back.
He's the Grudge.
Yeah. Oh, man. He is in the middle of the street just like, oh, God, it hurts. So Charlie and Amy pick up his mom because she got a little concussion. She's in Concussion County after the accident. So they plop everybody into the car, the busted car, and grind away out down the street. But not before knocking over the minivan and crushing Jerry. Hooray. Oh, no. He's instantly healing up. But he's in rough condition. So Jane, the mom, is in the hospital. She got fucked up. So I knew they had to find a way to get the mom out of there. So I was like, okay, good. So now Charlie is talking to Peter one more time because he recognizes that altar from Jerry's house. And we find out that Jerry has been a vampire for a very long time and has done a lot of bad stuff. This dude's hardcore and he's lived and he's really good at living. So unfortunately, as they're talking, we see that Peter gets a FedEx package. He's like, oh, that's really cool. He's like, yeah, I buy a lot of stuff. He's like, it's crazy you get packages this late. And he's like, oh yeah, it is kind of late. Uh-oh. So once again, the rules, you can't invite a vampire in unless you say, come on in.
Literally, as soon as he said, come on up, I looked at Micah and I said, bitch, you just let him in.
Yep.
You just let his ass in.
Another fun fact for quick eyes in this movie. Earlier in the movie, when Charlie was in Jerry's house, he looks in his closet and it's all like different like jobs of authority, like their clothing. So probably many times Jerry has dressed up like a gas man or a cop or a firefighter. And it's like, hey, there's something happening. I need to check something. I'm like, oh yeah, come on in. He's like, rah, 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 and eats people really quick. So I was like, that's really smart, you know, because people like to respect folks that are in outfits. You know, if you look like you're supposed to be there, people don't really doubt you. But I was really fucking smart of him. But it's not Jerry. It's Ed. It's McLovin as a vampire. So now we see Charlie and Amy fight off vampire Ed. Now we see that Peter, the ultimate vampire hunter, he runs off and gets into a safety room with his Midori and kind of sits there and he's scared. So Charlie and Amy actually take out Ed. Now we see that Ed was talking to somebody on a phone or a walkie-talkie. Yeah, he was talking to Jerry. And Jerry is on his way up. Now, Amy defends herself against Jerry in a couple of ways. She pulls out a gun and fills the gun with silver bullets. They hurt, but they don't really hurt, because he says that's for werewolves. I'm not a werewolf.
Which she should have known, because it literally had werewolves carved onto the bullet.
Yeah, but guns are like, hey, this is a gun. And I feel a little bit better about life. And then she throws holy water in his face, and Jerry takes it. He's like, oh, God, that is holy water. Ow, my. Ah! And he goes down for a little bit. Now, as Charlie and Amy run off, this, I don't know, high rise that Peter lives in is above a nightclub, probably multiple nightclubs, honestly. And so as they are in the club, they get separated by the crowd, and Jerry takes some of his blood, puts it on his lips, and kisses Amy, and it hypnotizes her, I guess, and then bites her. Now, in all through this movie, there's been this undertone of kind of like a sexual predator. He is a predator because he's a vampire, but he's going for Amy because she is pure, and that's what vampires like. It's good blood. Now, Colin Farrell talked to the director and the writers and stuff. He's like, hey, can we tone that down a little bit? Like I'm cool being a vampire, but it's like some of the words he was using about Amy, I was like, I get what they're doing. It makes him look a lot more evil. He's like, yeah, she's young. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And they didn't take it out.
It was very pedophilic.
Yeah. And they didn't take it out. So,
but I mean, at the end point, at the end of that scene, they're like making out.
No.
Yeah.
And it is, if you buy into the fact that Imogene Poots is supposed to be in high school, then it's super fucking gross that she's making out with 40-year-old Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, hundreds of years old Colin Farrell.
Yeah, but, yeah.
But
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, oh no, Charlie heads back to Peter's. I guess it's still nighttime. I don't know. And Peter tells him, like, no, I'm not going to help you, dude, because my parents were killed by a vampire. You know how I lived through it? I ran away. I was quiet. I was a little bitch. And he's like, that's how you survive vampires. And Charlie's like, well, I'd rather not live and end up like you. I'd rather die trying to stop this vampire. And Peter's like, my heart. I can't believe you said that to me. So he does give Charlie a steak blessed by Saint Michael. And apparently this MacGuffin in his hand, this wooden MacGuffin, if he stabs Jerry in the heart with it, all the people that have been turned into vampires will turn back normal. Hooray! All the vampire movies we usually watch, if you get bit by a vampire, that's the end of your life. And that's it. Don't get bit. There was some vampire movie we watched that if the head vampire got killed, it was all good. I can't remember it off the top of my head. But I've seen one or two.
There's a few where that's the case.
Yeah. In Bordello of Blood, another movie with Chris Sarandon in it, with vampires, it didn't matter. They killed the head vampire, and then the main guy's girlfriend was still a vampire. And he got bit at the end. Doesn't matter. You got to check people. So Charlie goes shopping. What you always do when you have to fight a weird monster. And he buys a sweet ass, like, I thought it was like an aviation suit, but it's this cool suit. Buys all these weapons. He has a crossbow. And he has the cool stake. And he is ready to fight. And he heads to Jerry's house. Breaks open all the windows. Lets the sun in. Doo-doo-doo. And he is about to head into the basement. And then, hooray, Peter, he shows up. And he's like, man, you called me a bitch, and it kind of hurt. Now I'm here to help. He's like, hooray. Fucking Bluey. I say hooray like that because of Bluey.
Hooray.
Hooray. Oh. those damn little girls, they say hooray all the time.
So, hooray.
So we find out that, I don't know, Amy was in a room. But the second she got up and called for Charlie, she fell through a trap door.
Yep.
I don't know why the trap door didn't go off before. I don't know.
He wasn't a trap yet.
Oh, he was waiting. He's like, man, he's gonna get here. Oh, there he is. So Amy is in the basement. So Peter and Charlie head into the basement of this home. Fuck, it's big down here. It's a lot like Disturbia. Where that guy dug out the basement of his home. Fuck, that's crazy. How would no one hear that? But he's a vampire. I guess he could be really quick with it. The other guy was just an evil dude. And he was digging out the whole fucking house. I don't know.
Hence the garbage can.
Yeah. So at this point, Amy is still alive. Hooray. And Charlie is talking to her in a room. He gets locked in there by Jerry. Now, Peter has to deal with Jerry. He's not doing that good of a job because he has a shotgun. And I guess it's just normal bullets. And Jerry shoots a tiny little pebble and hits Peter right in his head. And it makes him bleed. And the blood drops to the ground. And the horde of vampires that he has been starting comes out of the walls. A little bit before this, we see Jerry has instantly remembered Peter. And he's like, you've grown. He's like, you got your mother's eyes or your mother's face or whatever, hair. Well, I don't know what he said. And so instantly we learn that Jerry the vampire was the vampire that killed Peter's parents as he was a wee little kid. So it's like, hey, time to get some vengeance, my guy. So as Charlie uses the stake on Amy, not properly, stabs her in the stomach, kind of. Amy goes down. She's like, you missed. And he's like, yeah, I know. And runs off. So Charlie sees that Peter is covered with vampires. And he shoots into the ceiling, making light holes, just like in From Dusk Till Dawn. It's a smart way to stop vampires. So he makes enough holes that there's a little bit of a safety zone around Peter's body. Peter's still alive. He just got bit like 50 times. He's all good. So Jerry tells Charlie that, hey, we can wait you out because the sun's going to go down. And the second it goes down, we're going to eat you. And then I'm going to turn your girlfriend and she'll be my wife or whatever. In the original Fright Night, the reason that Jerry wanted Amy so bad is because she looked like his long lost wife way back in the day. He's like, oh, you're my wife, like reincarnated or something. I'm really going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the justification, but it's fine now. So as Jerry is sitting there telling Charlie, like, I'm sorry, dude, we tried, you know, at least we're going to die like good guys. Peter's body starts smoking. So he's like, oh shit, I'm running out of time. I'm going to turn to a vampire and explode right next to you. Now we see that Charlie starts putting on his mask and goggles, and Peter remembers, well, Charlie tells him, like, this was your plan. And earlier, Peter tells Charlie that vampires on fire are very scared, and they don't really think that straight because fire is really good against them. So Peter sets Charlie on fire, and he jumps at Jerry. And so Jerry the vampire starts flopping around like a crazy person because he's on fire. And repeatedly starts hitting the ceiling, and so the floor above them is starting to break out and sun is coming through, and then enough sun hits Jerry and his chest opens up, and Charlie uses the super stake, the MacGuffin stake, and stabs Jerry in his heart. Hooray, the vampire dies, and all the other people that were kind of vampires turn back normal, except like the four people that died down there. They're just dead. And Ed is dead. So, you know, not everybody. So, this is awesome. They killed him. So, we see that Charlie's mom, she's fine. She had a concussion, but she's all good. And she's talking to Charlie on the phone about moving because their house exploded. So, well, imploded, kind of. It's still standing, but the inside's just blown out, you know? And Charlie and Amy are having sex in Peter's penthouse. Well, they're trying to. And Peter comes in. He's like, I'm not looking. I'm kind of looking. I'm just getting my stuff and I'll be back later or whatever. You know, don't do anything I wouldn't do, which is weird. You know, I don't know, but I'm not looking, you know.
But when he said, if you're naked, I'm definitely going to look.
Like I said, David Tennant, man, he gets any line is just awesome from him. So, hooray. There's no vampires right now in Vegas. Probably not. I don't know.
Question mark.
Jerry can't be the only one. There's still a Dracula out there. It's always a Dracula. For some reason, you can't get rid of him. And that is the end of Fright Night. So, Emma, who or what was your favorite thing about Fright Night?
My favorite character slash duo was Charlie and Jerry. Charlie played his part very well, and Jerry played his part very well.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved the just Charlie kind of acting like, I know something about you, but you don't know that I know something about you. And then Jerry did the whole, you don't know that I know that you know that I still know what you know, but you still don't know it. And so that whole back and forth between them, I loved that. The chemistry and the playback between the two of those was great. Micah?
I'm going to say David Tennant's character.
Peter Vincent.
Peter Vincent, yeah. He presented it like a stereotype and was super campy about it, and it worked so fucking well. Really hammered hard the Midori thing and being a prissy prima donna, and then had a little bit of a character build right at the end where he's like, you know what, you're right, I don't want to be the man I am either. So I don't know, not much to it, but still did a lot with what he gave. So
Katie,
my favorite character was probably David Tennant, of course. But to say something different than Micah, I'm going to go with Christopher Mintz-Plasse, the Ed, Evil Ed. He was funny as fuck. And McLovin always comes in with the jokes, and he was great.
Yeah, he's a funny dude. So I said it earlier in kind of a spoiler of what I liked about it, but the casting in this movie was absolutely fun. I loved it. The Peter character in this movie, they kind of updated it because there aren't as many scary movie hosts like Elvira. In the original Fright Night, that's what Peter Vincent's character was. He was the host of a late night scary show, and they would show movies and stuff. That was his thing. And so that's why Charlie was like, well, you know a lot about this because, you know, that's all you do is talk about them and stuff. And he's like, bro, vampires aren't real. He's like, holy shit, they're real. So I like the update of that. He's just like this Chris Angel street magic guy. And so still the justification of, well, this shit's got to be real, right? You know, he's like, no, yes, it is. I knew it was real the whole time. I just ignore it. And Anton Yelchin, I haven't seen that many movies with them. Now, Star Trek movies he was in, and this one, but this is probably one of my favorite ones. There is a film he did where he is a normal guy and he can hear spirits. And it's kind of spooky. And I don't know if it was one of his last things or up to that point. I think his name is like Ed or something like that. And it's a book series. And they were going to make a ton of them. And then he passed away. So
Odd Thomas?
Thomas. Odd. Odd is his first name. Yeah.
Odd Thomas.
Yeah. It's a book series. And it's just this guy trying to just.
It wasn't the last thing. That was 2013.
It was getting up there.
I mean, the last movie he was in that I think was Star Trek Beyond, 2016.
Okay. So getting there. But the Odd Thomas series, and I think people liked it, you know, and they wanted more, but, you know, when the perfect guy for it isn't here anymore, kind of sucks if you do it again. Colin Farrell was amazing in this movie. He's really good at being villains. He's really good at being a good person. He played the fucking Penguin in the Batman, and he was really, really good. It didn't look anything like Colin Farrell, but that was Colin Farrell. It was awesome. So I enjoyed everybody in this movie. Even the mom, Jane, it was Toni Collette from Midsommar, Hereditary. She did amazing in Hereditary, and she did pretty good in this as a, I don't believe you. It didn't take too long for her to be like, oh shit, I believe you. So I thought that was fun.
Believe your kids.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Okay, so Emma, who or what was your least favorite thing in Fright Night?
Amy and her lack of desire to be a high school senior. the one moment that, like, there were some cute moments with Amy where I was like, ah, oh, yeah, it's so nice. But when he was like, okay, so prom is a given. And she's like, yeah, nobody goes to prom. And, like, I don't know. I felt like that really shot him down a lot. And I didn't feel good about it. So, and outside of that, I had some trouble finding people I didn't care for, aside from McLovin's bullshit attitude. But yeah, Micah.
Least favorite. I don't know. I think the low hanging fruit for me is the CGI. But now that I know that we probably watched an edition that was supposed to be 3D, I think. I don't know. If that was the CGI used for like the regular screening, then it was awful and unnecessary. Like when they're driving down the road and they're bumping each other in their cars, like, I know it's not exactly the safest thing to do, but you can still pull it off. So I don't know. And then the really, really overly fake CGI blood that just kind of spurted all over the screen. It's just like, oh, okay, I guess. Yeah. It just made it seem, I don't know, push past campy and be a little bit more, I don't know, whatever it was. But yeah, just a bad CGI.
My least favorite thing was the terrible use of Reed Ewing. He plays the character Ben, which is one of the other popular guys.
Yeah.
He's out with Dave Franco and the cool girls, and by association, Charlie, or Anton Yelkin's character.
Mm-hmm.
He's like one of the two cool dudes that is like trying to push Charlie's character into being like a cool guy and not hang out with nerds, and like keeps giving him like a bunch of shit. They both are giving him a bunch of shit.
Yeah. And
they use both of them together as like these like cool guy, stoner, whatever, popular guys very well until Jerry pops up, and then Ben just disappears. Like, yeah. Dave Franco comes back at the end and is a vampire and like has to fight it out with Charlie, but Ben is nowhere to be seen. This kid just got murdered, and they did not use him like up to his full potential, because he is funny as fuck in Modern Family.
It was tough to really find something that was the least favorite, but I guess it was lack of, it's weird to say because it's a vampire movie, but lack of vampires. There were a lot of Charlie getting worried, building up to a defense. The back half of this movie, there were vampires, but two at most, and in the last 15 minutes had a horde of vampires, and I was like, okay, here we go, you know? It just, I don't know, it wasn't enough for me, but Colin Farrell held it down as the only vampire in the movie. He did great, and it kind of, what's the word, kept it grounded with just one vampire, because if there were a ton of them, then he isn't as strong. But just with one vampire to deal with, he's the strongest thing in that world. For some reason, when you multiply the villains, they get weaker. Just like in Alien, when there was just one scary xenomorph trying to kill, you know, Ripley, that thing was really strong and scary. In the second one, there were hundreds of them, and you could kill one with just a couple of bullets. And it's like, okay. For some reason, when you multiply something, they get weaker for some reason. So I get why they held back on having just way too many vampires, but when they did, I was like, finally, I like seeing vampires in movies. So I was like, I want more. So now let us do 7-word synopsis. I got two of them. The first one is, a modern vampire would be really effective. In this day and age, I know people get real iffy about folks at the door, but I think it's just like courtesy. Or just this, like, I don't really want you to come in, but, like, you could make someone say, like, oh, okay, it's like, can I come in? It's like, maybe. It just, there's so many different ways you could trick somebody into letting you come in. An Amazon delivery guy or girl that was a vampire would kill so many people.
Yep.
You know, it just, it helped. You could make someone come outside, or someone delivering food. You could wait for them to open a door and reach out and snatch them through the doorway. And you can get them.
Yep.
Vampires would be so effective in this day and age, because We like to be inside, but you could get someone to come outside real quick. Like you put a package just three steps outside the door. He's like, oh, it's my Legos. And you take that one good step outside, like, nah, and you're gone. I've gone outside barefoot to grab packages. I'm gone. So my second one is, I want a Peter Vincent spinoff movie.
Yes, please.
I just want David Tennant just hunting down monsters or just being silly or being a drunk, or I just want a David Tennant movie. So, but I would think it'd be really cool if he got bored with being the fake magic guy and decided that he wanted to help the world and just goes off and starts hunting down monsters. It could be werewolves. It could be more vampires. You know, hell, it'd be all the things that Van Helsing fought. And it's just David Tennant being the new Van Helsing. I'd watch the shit out of that movie or show. 100%. Katie.
Yep. David Tennant needs more movies like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it. Micah.
I told you, he's a fucking vampire. Me fuck myself? Someone's got to do it. And, huh? You get me drunk, I'll try anything.
How many good lines. Ugh.
And then when he's farther into it, he goes, I don't know if I'm that drunk. Okay. I have McLovin always has the lowdown on everyone.
Yeah.
And dramatic music worked overtime on this one. The extreme use of the string section in the orchestra was a lot. Ouch, Charlie, that hurt. He bit me. And then this is an odd time is an odd construct in movies. And then my alliterative, friends fall, final friend fights fangly foe.
Heck yeah. Honestly, that's my least favorite thing about this movie. I don't understand how many hours have gone by. Because at points it was night, not even super late. And then Amy, I guess she was over there. It was like 2 a.m. trying to have sex. And then he ran off and was trying to save his neighbor. And it was just daytime. So maybe he was there for a couple hours in that room.
Also, at the very beginning of this movie, their little town is like, or their little like housing area is a one block by one block.
Yeah.
And it's like a solid distance away from the next populated area. How the fuck are you all getting to school? Like, how long does that take you?
Yeah.
Like, I don't, so many plot holes.
Yeah. So many questions of how this suburb works. So this film came out in the United States, August 19th, 2021. So what do you guys think the budget for Fright Night was, Katie?
$20 dues.
Okay. $20 dues. Emma.
$25 dues.
$25 dues. Micah.
Well, my answer would be way too close to Katie's, so I'm going to say...
Your answer that's close to Katie's. $14
dues.
14?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, the budget for Fright Night was $30 dues. It makes sense, I guess. Though, the newest Godzilla movie was 15 and that won an Academy Award. I don't know. I don't know how money works sometimes. So, Katie, what do you think the box office for Fright Night was?
$30 dues.
Okay. Emma.
$55 dues.
And Micah.
I'll say $65 dues.
That's a lot.
Five. So, review wise, people enjoyed this movie. Colin Farrell seems to be the biggest part of it that people like, he did a really good fucking job. This was fun. But it didn't really make that much money. So the box office for Fright Night was $41 dues. So that means that Katie wins. Yeah, because 55 would be 14 away.
Yeah.
And you would be 11 away.
Sweet.
So you win. Everybody was dancing right around it. So I was like, I'm gonna might have to count. So does anyone have anything else to say about Fright Night before we get out of here?
It was good. It was fun.
Very fun one. Very fun one. So we'll with
some
that,
popcorn
that
is, and a crucifix and watch it.
Right? So with that, that is the end of this episode. If you have any other cool fun facts about, I don't know, bumming beers off your neighbors or digging out the entire bottom of your home or, I don't know, making out with high schoolers, you can send that message to Katie at
Allentown Pod.
We've emailed this.
AllentownPresents@gmail.com.
We're Facebook at
Allentown Presents.
So this was episode 347 in the pocket, in the books, out of sight. We have at least, I don't know how this month works, we have at least two more vampire movies. There's probably going to be a Farm Fresh one. Yeah, I don't know, probably some old one or a weird one. Hell, I don't know. We got a list somewhere. So I'm very excited about this. So the music you're listening to right now, that is Flipping the Combined Effort, Flipping the CE, anywhere you can find them. Studio Pizzas, thank you so much for our artwork. So for Katie, for Sleepy Bella that finally sat down and stopped knocking stuff over, for Emma and Micah, thank you so much for listening, and we will be back next week with another vampire movie. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Toots.
Oh, hey. Nice podcast you guys got here. Anybody want to invite me on?